Good morning and welcome to Friday Morning After on CKUT Radio in Montreal, Quebec. I'm Joe Broadhurst, and I am happy to be joined on the line with Aaron Lakoff, who is a CKUT reporter currently in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, and covering the build-up to the elections on February 7th. Mr. Aaron Lakoff, how are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Yeah?
Thanks for having me on.
So tell us a little bit about what's going on down there. We had spoken by email yesterday, and you had said something about a hospital being fired upon.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll give a bit of a backgrounder about what's been happening in Haiti the last few weeks, just so people have an idea of the kind of general political situation. As people may know, there's been a pretty rocky lead-up, we could say, to presidential elections that were supposed to take place actually quite some time ago, months ago here in Haiti, but have been delayed now four times, and the most recent delay taking place on January the 8th. But it looks almost for sure now that these elections will go ahead on February the 7th, and that will be the first round, the second round taking place mid-March. Of course, these elections come after a coup d'etat, February 2004, sponsored by the U.S., France, and Canada, which ousted democratically elected President Jean-Bertrand Aristide. So what we've seen in the lead-up to these elections is a climate of intense fear and political violence in Haiti. And this violence, despite what you're hearing in mainstream media reports, is more often than not coming from the political elite in Haiti via the UN forces that are now here, what we call MINUSTAH, which is the United Nations Stabilization Mission in Haiti, towards and against the nation's poorest, which are, which make up 90% of the population of Haiti. I'm talking about a population that lives off $200 per year, $200 per year. And it's the poor in Haiti who have also traditionally been the support base for the Lavalas Party and René Préval, who's running as presidential candidate for Lavalas. So as you can see, this huge base of poor people in Haiti is actually representing quite a threat to the nation's wealthiest, who would like to see their business interests protected. So basically, I arrived in Haiti on January the 4th. On January the 7th, people may have heard that the Brazilian head of the military mission here, General Bacelar, was found dead in his hotel room. The UN is saying it was a suicide. Some people speculate quite differently, because what we do know, sources have told us that the night before his death, Bacelar was in a very intense meeting with Andy Appeared, who is the spokesperson for the Group of 184. The Group of 184, of course, being a group of 184 so-called civil society groups, but mostly composed of wealthy businessmen and sweatshop owners like Andy Appeared, who led the coup in 2004. Anyways, Bacelar had a meeting with Appeared and Regina Boulous, who is the head of the Haitian Chamber of Commerce, and they basically told him, you need to crack down on Cité Soleil, on the poor areas, or your job is on the line. So we think it seems like he may have died under pretty sketchy circumstances, to say the least. Then, of course, last January the 9th, the Group of 184 called for a general business strike throughout the country, again to put pressure on MINUSTAH to increase security measures. And of course, what we've been seeing is that increased security measures are acting as a code word or a cover to simply again crack down and to increase the violence in the poor areas of the city. And then most recently, on January the 16th, which was just this past Monday, the Group of 184 also led a demonstration outside the UN office here in Port-au-Prince. So it's very clear that Haiti's elite are very unhappy with MINUSTAH's performance. But then if you look at the flip side, MINUSTAH have been responding to the pressure of the elite and have been upping the bloodshed in the slums of the nation's capital. So the same day that we had the demonstration outside the UN office, four people were killed in Cité Soleil. Also, two Jordanian UN troops were also killed that day, and now many in Cité Soleil are fearing reprisals because of that. And then most recently, yesterday morning, three more were killed. That brings the death toll for just this week in Cité Soleil to above 10. One of the men who was killed yesterday morning was he was very young. He was 22 years old. Another one of the men who was killed was a delivery man. His dead body was strewn next to his cart that he used to deliver merchandise to different small shops in Cité Soleil. So this is the kind of bloodshed we're seeing. This is the death that's coming at the hands of MINUSTAH here. And then the hospital incident, which I feel is very important to mention, because I don't think that that's going to get covered at all in the mainstream press. We visited a hospital in Cité Soleil yesterday called St. Catherine's Hospital, which at about 11 p.m. on Wednesday night came under heavy fire. And eyewitnesses say that it was indeed MINUSTAH who was shooting at the hospital. And, of course, what we could see from the hospital balcony was that the only place, really, in Cité Soleil where you could have had the range to get, you know, those shots fired on the hospital was from the large building that MINUSTAH is occupying in Cité Soleil. And, I mean, it was a frightening sight, this hospital. The outside walls were just riddled with bullet holes.
Do you know who the target was? Or was there anybody inside that would have been a target?
We can't really say for sure. I mean, what I do know is that we spoke to eyewitnesses who saw MINUSTAH firing. I can't speculate at this point in terms of their intentions or what their target was. But we were walking around the inside of the hospital, and there were bullet holes in the children's ward. So if that says anything about the targets, we have to kind of, again, question what MINUSTAH is doing in Cité Soleil if they're shooting into the children's ward of a hospital. Luckily, no one was injured or killed in that incident, but it's always frightening to see bullet holes in a hospital. And, of course, that's also a serious war crime under the Geneva Conventions. It says very clearly that, you know, you don't open fire on a hospital, and that hospitals have to, you know, remain safe areas in a time of war.
Well,
and another interesting thing I think to note about the UN is they're very image conscious right now. There was recently an admission on the part of the UN in The Independent in the United Kingdom, where the UN have now admitted themselves that they've probably killed some civilians, what they term to be collateral damage. And more and more that their role here in Haiti is being questioned, not only by the elite, but also by the poor. And what happened yesterday was when we were driving into Cité Soleil, we were in a car that was clearly marked as a press van, and a MINUSTAH tank stopped us, wouldn't let us go any further, had their guns trained on us. And then as soon as I got out of the car to start taking photos, they started their sirens. They're trying to get me to stop taking photos. So I think these are clear attempts on their part to try to silence the press, specifically silence the press that's going to cover them from a negative angle.
In the mainstream press, they had run an article yesterday that was talking about a Chilean brigadier general who was named to be the vice commander down there for MINUSTAH. Do you know anything about him? They said that he was actually blamed for a Spanish diplomat's death and that he worked under Pinochet. Do you know anything about him?
Yeah. Yeah, what I do know, you're talking about General Herman. He took over from Bacelar after his death. And indeed, Herman has been linked to the Pinochet regime. He served as a military commander under Pinochet, and he was also trained at the School of the Americas, the infamous School of the Americas in Fort Benning, Georgia, where numerous death squad leaders, where people like the FRAP here in Haiti, paramilitaries, have been trained for decades. So he comes to power with a kind of an American stamp of approval on him as well. And, I mean, this is certainly not looking good. In fact, this has gotten out in the press that he has been linked to the Pinochet regime. I believe there's even an article in Montreal's La Presse about it. And, in fact, Herman is now second in command, actually. They just appointed a new head of the military mission just the other day, a Brazilian by the name of Cal Valerio. So, but again, I mean, it goes to show you the kind of people that are in power here in Haiti, and it's a situation that's just completely turned upside down on its head. I mean, we have people like Guy Philippe, who is one of the leaders of the coup d'état, responsible for the death of thousands of people after that coup, and trained by the CIA years ago in Ecuador. You have people like Guy Philippe running for president, and then you have people like Father Gérard Jean-Just, who is a popular priest here in Haiti and a human rights activist, or Annette Soane-Auguste, who is a political folk singer. They're in jail. They're behind bars. So it's a crazy situation. We have to ask ourselves, does this really make sense? And I think we also have to ask ourselves, why is the Canadian government supporting the de facto situation here?
And the Medicine Sans Frontières, Doctors Without Borders, they had stated that they haven't seen this kind of increase in violence since the beginning of the summer. Are you seeing that on the ground?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we can expect a very bloody next few weeks here in Haiti, especially in the lead up to the elections. I mean, if this week was any indication, it's going to be a bloodbath, because again, if we look at what's happening, we have the elite power in Haiti represented by the Group of 184, and their favored presidential candidate is Charles Henry Baker. They pretty much led the coup against Aristide. So in from their point of view, I mean, they've worked this hard to get this far, to kill enough people to be where they are. They don't want to lose these elections. On the other side, we have René Préval, again, Lavalas's candidate, who in a recent Gallup poll was shown to be very much in the lead with 32% support. It's clear that if there were a free and fair election tomorrow, Préval would win easily. But the Group of 184, through the pressure that they're putting on Minusta, are going to make this very, very difficult for Lavalas. And I'm quite concerned about the situation here over the next couple of weeks. I think that people in Montreal and people in Canada should be quite concerned. I've been telling people to follow the news in Haiti very closely because we have to kind of prepare ourselves for the worst. And I think that people in Montreal are in a very good position to act out. I mean, everyone knows that Canadians are going to the polls on Monday, and I'm not a huge proponent of electoral politics. I mean, I don't personally believe that this election can bring about that much change, but we have to remind ourselves about the Canadian government's role here in Haiti and the kind of violence that they've supported and brought on, and you know, Montrealers, people in Canada need to be very conscious of that over the next few weeks.
Okay, we're gonna have to wind down. Is there anything else that you want us to know before we go?
No, that's about it. Just please follow the news in Haiti.
Okay, the elections are coming up on February 7th. We've been speaking with Aaron Lakoff. He is a reporter for CKUT that is down in Port-au-Prince right now. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Joe.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.